Are you a compassionate person? Let's find out. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The Lord says, I want you to care about people. That's what matters. Because only three things last forever: God, His Word, and people. And listen, some who are so focused on money, your money is going to pass away. Riches don't profit in the day of wrath. What matters is people.
When discussing the subject of compassion, one of the best object lessons in Scripture is the Old Testament story of Jonah. Jonah was the minor prophet who led the greatest revival in all of the Bible, even though he wasn't even in favor of revival. Yet, God used him in a great way. And God uses this lesson to teach us all quite a bit about true compassion. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, who will present a revealing lesson today entitled The Contrast of Compassion from the series Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Now, a lot of folks scream about how compassionate they are or how compassionate you are not. But what is real compassion from God's point of view? Let's find out. Open your Bible to the third chapter of the Old Testament book of Jonah. Here now is Pastor Jeff to explain the contrast of compassion.
You know, the story in the Bible that is so apropos for a subject of compassion is the story of Jonah. Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah, who's a very interesting prophet. He's a minor prophet. You know, there are a bunch of minor prophets, 12 minor prophets. But Jonah is the one that stands out. Jonah is the one everyone remembers. Jonah is the reluctant prophet. God has his story in Scripture to teach us many lessons. One of the key lessons is about compassion, the contrast of compassion. Hey, if you've ever felt like your compassion exceeds God's, then you need to listen extra closely to what the Lord has to say in the book of Jonah. And the Scripture says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord hurled a great wind on the sea, and there was a great storm on the sea, so that the ship was about to break up. There's a great storm. They find out that Jonah's the cause of the storm. They reluctantly throw Jonah overboard, and God appoints a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah gets right with God in the belly of the fish, and the fish vomits up Jonah onto dry land. And then we read this verse, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. I want you to see three insights from the story of Jonah. Three insights related to the compassion of God. Insight number one, God shows his compassion by giving second chances. The word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Hey, the first time he went in the wrong direction, and so God gives him a second time. I love the fact that God is the God of second chances. Because you know what? I can relate to Jonah. Maybe you can relate to Jonah. And listen, if you've messed up today, you need to know that God is a God of compassion. And his compassion far exceeds your compassion. God is the God of second chances. And if you've messed up, God has a second chance for you. It's undeserved, totally undeserved, but it proves that God's not through with you and he's not through with me. And anyone who will today get right with God will see God begin to work in great ways in them and through them. Second insight, God shows his compassion not only by giving second chances, but by responding to repentance. So let's look at what happened to Jonah. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time," chapter 3, verse 1, "saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you.' So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown.' Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And he issued a proclamation, and it said, 'In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth, and let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked way and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we shall not perish.'" God had Jonah give a very simple sermon. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. But Nineveh wasn't destroyed. Why? Because God is a God who responds to repentance. That's why. See, God will save anyone who will genuinely repent. It says in verse 10, "When God saw their deeds, that they turned from this wicked way, from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." God looked to see, how are they going to respond to this message? Oh, they're repenting. They're covered in sackcloth and ashes. They're fasting. They're serious about this. I'm not going to destroy them. You say, well, Jonah said God was going to destroy them. Yeah, but God would rather save than judge. And when God has an opportunity to deliver and to save because people respond to him, that's what he does. Hey, God is a God of compassion. He shows his compassion by giving second chances. He shows his compassion by responding to repentance. And thirdly, he shows his compassion by teaching us with patience. So there's this huge revival. About 600,000 people live in Nineveh, the scholars tell us. And when that revival hits from the king on down, I mean, you talk about a time to rejoice. You know, the city of Nineveh, if you want to put it into context with us today, it's about the size of Memphis, Tennessee. I was going to say it was about the size of Little Rock, but I looked up today. Little Rock only has about 200,000 people living there. So it would be three times the size of Little Rock, about the size of Memphis, Tennessee. And so many of them are coming to Christ that God relents concerning, or coming to the Lord, that God relents concerning the calamity he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And it says in chapter 4, verse 1, "But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry." That word for displeased means to be evil, to be bad. Jonah looked at God's mercy to them, at his compassion for them, as if it was evil. It was a bad thing what God did. And he was mad. He became angry, literally hot. He's burning with anger. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was this not what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity." That's why I didn't want to go, God, because I knew if I went there, sure as the world, you were going to show compassion to those people that we hate. Everybody back in Israel, we hate them. You need to hate them too. They're bad folks. "Therefore now," verse 3, "O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." And the Lord said, "You have good reason to be angry?" Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. There he made a shelter for himself and sat under it. and in the under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. Well, maybe, just maybe, some of them will die. So the Lord appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. Now remember this, if Jonah has been bleached out by the fish, he's sensitive to sunlight. And so he needs shelter and shade. And so Jonah was extremely happy about the plant, but God appointed a worm when dawn came and the next day, and it attacked the plant and it withered. And it came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." That's twice he's asked to die. I think the first time, if I had been God, I'd been prayer answered. You're dead. I'm sick of you. And God says to him, "Do you have good reason to be angry about the plant?" And he said, "I have good reason to be angry even to death." Then the Lord said, "You had compassion on the plant for which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons, children, who do not know the difference between their right and left hand, as well as many animals?" God is patient with Jonah.
The heart of our Heavenly Father is so patient toward His children, so patient toward you and toward me. What compassion He shows. And no matter what you've done, you're precious to Him. And He loves you so much that He's willing to forgive. Pastor Jeff will be back in just a moment to conclude today's lesson, The Contrast of Compassion. Now, you may have been listening today with a compassionate chip on your shoulder about God. In fact, your cynicism about Him has caused you to think that God is actually hateful and mean, punishing you in this world because He thinks that you're not a good person. I have some friends who believe that God is like that because they had earthly fathers like that. Unfortunately, that blinded them to the redeeming, compassionate qualities of our Creator God, our Heavenly Father, who is loving, kind, forgiving, and responsive to our needs. Do you fully appreciate who God really is? Well, Pastor Jeff's six-message series can help you recalibrate. It's called Perspective, Understanding God and Man, and it's our gift of thanks for your support this month. To get your copy and at the same time invest in helping us spread this compassionate word to others around the globe, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org. It's available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive, your choice. Call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. Pastor Jeff Shreve receives no income from any donation to From His Heart. Thank you for standing with us to tell the world about the one true God. Now let's conclude part one of the message, The Contrast of Compassion. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
Now Jonah, get this about him, very interesting. Jonah is like the story of the prodigal son. In chapter one, he is the prodigal son, and he leaves the presence of God to try and flee from God. And in chapter four, he's like the elder brother. He's all mad and angry. Why? Because God is having mercy and compassion on those He deems unworthy for God's mercy and God's compassion. And here's the problem with Jonah. It's the problem that we have too. Our priorities are so warped and twisted. We try to read God the Riot Act. You should have thought about compassion, God. You know, we're like the person that has the thimble full of compassion. And God has an ocean full of compassion. And we come to God and we try and lecture God on how the thimble is greater than the ocean when it comes to compassion. And God in compassion doesn't just consume us. Because can you imagine God, how He would get to be like fingernails on a chalkboard for God to be called out by the thimble. The thimble doesn't understand squat compared to the ocean, but that is the situation. And Jonah has so much compassion for the plant, and he has no compassion for the people. He cares way more for his comfort, his earthly comfort, than their eternal salvation. And God is trying to teach him, hey, you have lost it here, pal. And see, that's the sad part about the nation of Israel. Why did God choose the nation of Israel? He chose them to be a witness to the world. And what did they end up? They ended up hating the world. They ended up saying, well, we're Jews, we're God's chosen people, and you guys are Gentile dogs. And God says, I've made you to be a witness, and you have totally lost it. You're so warped in your idea of compassion. God has called us to be his witnesses, and we've totally lost it. So many of us, as we prayed today, God, help us return to our first love, because we start loving other things. We start loving baseball and football and golf and junior league and this and that and the other. And the King of Glory has been crucified for the sins of the world. And he said, I have saved you and called you to be my witnesses. And we major on the minors. And it breaks the heart of God. You know, if you think about the Titanic, I don't know this for sure, but I just assume this is probably true. There were probably some difficulties on the Titanic. There might have been some trouble in the kitchen. Maybe the soup was a little too salty. And you can get a bunch of people that say, that's right, the soup is too salty. Let me tell you something that was a much bigger problem on the Titanic. There was a gash in the ship and the thing was sinking. That was the big, big problem. You know what the difficulty and the situation in our world today that is going to bring the judgment of God? It's a thing called abortion. And we're killing hundreds of thousands and millions of lives. And people who seem to present themselves as so compassionate have absolutely no compassion for the unborn. Listen, we need some people to stand up and speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. God says, should I have not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who don't know the difference between their right and left hand? The children, God cares about the children. I heard a politician who is pro-abortion to the core say to her constituency the other day, God is on our side. Let me tell you something. If you're on the side of dismembering unborn babies, you can rest assured God is not on your side. God hates that. He hates it. And what do we say? We have a whole group of people, there's millions of people who will say, well, we are compassionate and they're for the murder of those unborn babies. You see how twisted we are? You see how warped this is? And God is trying to teach us this is what's important. This is true compassion. And God wants his people to have a heart for people. That's what he was trying to teach Jonah. Jonah, you hate those people. And there's some, no doubt, in this audience, and you're prejudiced. You're prejudiced against blacks, or maybe you're black and you're prejudiced against whites, or maybe you're Asian and you don't like Hispanics or whatever it is, but we have these people groups. We just don't like them. I don't have any regard for them. Let me tell you something about God. He loves them. He loves them as much as he loves you. The Lord says, I want you to care about people, because people, that's what matters. Because only three things last forever: God, his word, and people. Heaven and earth shall pass away, the Lord says, but my word shall not pass away. And listen, some who are so focused on money, your money is going to pass away. Riches don't profit in the day of wrath. What matters is people. And God says, I want you to have a heart for people like I have a heart for people. Now, isn't it interesting? Jonah ends in verse 11 with a question mark. Should I not have compassion, Jonah? You had compassion on a stinking plant. And you don't want me to show compassion to 600,000 people, 120,000 little boys and girls? I mean, where's the logic there, Jonah? Ends with a question mark. We don't know how Jonah answered. You know what's interesting? The Bible has two books that end with question marks. Jonah and Nahum. Both of them deal with Nineveh. Kind of an interesting thing. Only two books, and they both deal with Nineveh. And the question comes to Jonah, and we don't know how Jonah answered. We would like to say Jonah repented before God and got things right and say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. But we don't know. But here's the thing. We don't know how Jonah answered, but the question comes to us. How are you going to respond? Maybe there's some things in your heart that just aren't right. Maybe other things have taken first place and you're warped in your idea of what's important and what's not. You get all bent out of shape over your creature comforts and you don't really pray. You don't really seek the Lord on lost people, lost friends, lost neighbors, lost people at school, at work, wherever. You're not really praying for them. You're not chasing chariots. You're not taking it upon yourself seriously to be his witness, to shine and to share. I'm talking to myself because other things get more important. And God says, what could be more important than this? To see people come to Christ. And we have churches that preach the social gospel and they give out soup and they give out soap. And you've heard me say this many times, it's worth repeating. If all we give people is soup and soap and we don't give them salvation, all we do is make this world a better place from which to go to hell. You got to teach people and show people and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to show them the way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And what did Jonah do? He preached judgment. You know, the feel-good churches don't like to, let's not talk about sin, let's not talk about judgment, because that's going to make people feel bad. How do you think it made them feel when Jonah was walking through, said, you have 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed? That's not a feel-good message, but that's a message that gets to the heart, that shows people you're in trouble. And we need to let people know you're in trouble because God is a holy God and he is compassionate and he is gracious. But if you don't turn around from the broad road that leads to destruction, you are going to be destroyed. That's the truth of the gospel. Listen, so I close with this question. You search your own heart. What needs to change in your heart toward God and man?
If Jesus is truly the Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to be practicing true compassion toward the lost around you. Perhaps you're listening today, but you don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way. Well, we invite you to turn from your sin now and surrender your life to Jesus in repentance and faith. And when you do, you'll never be the same. You are now a child of God. And thank him for saving you. Now today, if you did receive Christ, we are rejoicing with you at From His Heart and trust you'll find a Bible-believing church, find some mature Christian friends who can take you under their arms and help you, encourage you, and be an example to you, and offer some protection from the world that will be after you to fall more now than ever before. And please go online and let us know about this decision. Go to fromhisheart.org, click the Contact Us link. And there, too, you can find out about this month's special thank you gift for your support of any amount. It's the series Perspective, Understanding God and Man, from which this lesson comes, called The Contrast of Compassion. Just go to fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. Thank you for joining us in this worldwide effort. And thank you, too, for joining us on From His Heart today. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping you'll be with us next time when Pastor Jeff will present another insightful and empowering message from the series Perspective, Understanding God and Man. Be with us then when we'll open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more go to fromhisheart.org.